I want to begin by pointing out the heading of the psalm to the chief musician set to do not destroy, a victim of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. In my experience, there's many people who don't recognize that heading there, those headings are a part of what is given in the original Hebrew by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, that's a part of God's holy word. It's giving us the historical context in which this prayer was prayed, in which this psalm was written. I've always wished secretly that the Trinity Psalter actually included those headings in each psalm so we could be aware as we're singing of where it's coming from. But basically, as you look upon this, David was running from Saul, who was trying to persecute him and wanted to snuff out his life. And he had hidden in a cave. That particular incident is recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. It's when he began to accumulate his mighty men, for 400 mighty men began to come to him and assist him, and they became his traveling band. But as you look at this psalm, it really divides into two basic halves. What you see, first of all, in verses 1 through the middle of part of verse 6, is it's a prayer for deliverance. And then from the second half of verse 6 all the way to the end, it's praise for deliverance. So prayer for deliverance and then praise for deliverance. So it begins with prayer for deliverance. Notice how he begins in verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. He says, first of all, do not give me what I deserve. Don't treat me according to my sins. Give me what I don't deserve. And withhold from me what I do deserve. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Don't let my enemies overtake me because of my shortcomings and my sins. And he employs imagery that we find all throughout the Bible, but most particularly we find it all throughout the Psalms. And it's imagery that has come to mean a great deal to me. He looks to God to be his refuge, his defense, his shield, his tower. He uses the imagery, actually, of baby chicks who hide from harm by gathering underneath their mother's wings, and says, do this for me. Over the years, as I have engaged in the warfare that is the Christian life, because we are at war in this present age with spiritual hosts of darkness, as I've engaged in that war as a man who's a Christian, but also as it's intensified when you go into the gospel ministry, as I've engaged in that warfare, year after year, it seems to me that this becomes more sweet to me, something that I cry out more and more frequently, to basically say, oh Lord, protect me from the spiritual enemies that surround me. Be a shield about me when my own arms are not strong enough to uphold the shield of faith, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Would you hold it up for me? Would you be a refuge for me? Would you be a shelter in time of storm? Would you protect me because I'm anxious and I'm fearful about the enemies that are around me? It's why Be Thou My Vision has become my all-time favorite hymn, because what's the focus of that entire hymn? It's to get my gaze upon the Lord, to set my mind upon Him no matter what the circumstance is. And in that third verse, it says this, Be Thou my battle shield, sword for my fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight, thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. It's a cry I can pray from the heart that we can all pray from the heart. Notice that in verses 4 and 6, David describes the fierceness of his enemies. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Verse 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've dug a pit for me. Now, I want you to note something before I move to our second section. Look at verse 5. Here he's describing the fierceness of his enemies, and in between them, the description of his enemies bookends what he says here. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But what's he shown us thus far? Verses 1 through 6 are all about prayers for deliverance. But then, the latter part of verse 6, into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. In other words, God's heard my cry. God has answered. He's delivered me from my enemies. And so what we find next is David giving praise for deliverance. praise for the deliverance God has given. He was not only a diligent man in prayer when it came to making his anxieties known, when God delivered him from those anxieties, David was just as diligent to return praise and thanksgiving for it. I'll never forget back in the days in Bible college when I was in chapel, and a man by the name of T.P. Hunt made a comment from the pulpit that I've never forgotten. He said, "What if tomorrow's blessings were based upon today's thankfulness? What if tomorrow's blessings were based upon today's thankfulness?" Well, when I read this psalm, before I read it in its entirety, there's one thing I want to point out to you that stands out to me more than anything. In the midst of making his anxieties known and then giving God praise because he's delivered him from his anxieties, notice verse 5 and 11 are verbatim the same words repeated twice in the psalm. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." This is really a parallel statement to Jesus' words, "Let your kingdom come." That is, Lord, spread your glory throughout all the earth. Send out laborers into your harvest field that the glory of your name might be spread throughout all the earth, that men may worship you in spirit and in truth. That really is the cry. If you'll notice verse 9, he says, "I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the Gentiles." So the missiological element is here in his prayer. But the reason I'm pointing this out to you is notice that verse 11, it makes sense that here David would say, "Be exalted among the nations, O Lord," when he's rejoicing and when he's giving thanks. What strikes me is that in verse 5, he's going through his anxieties. He's in the midst of his discouragements. He's fearful because of his enemies. And in the midst of describing what those enemies are like, what's he do? He says, "Be exalted, O God, among the nations." You say, what is that significant? Why is that important? Well, I find it incredible. I find it amazing that in the midst of his torment and his sorrows and his fears and anxieties, he keeps the main thing the main thing. He remembers that, okay, I want you to deliver me from my enemies, but nonetheless, Lord, the world does not revolve around me. And your cause and your glory is bigger and far more important than I am. And so he's mindful of God's global concerns and the zeal for God's glory, even in the midst of going through his anxieties. And does this not tell us a hint of something of when you're going through hard times? Any of you ever go through hard times? Any of you ever feel fearful and anxious? Of course we do. But what is part of the remedy when you're feeling anxious? It's to discipline your mind to get fixed upon who God is. And so here we find David in the midst of his calamity, looking upon the Lord, getting his gaze fixed upon him, because as the scripture says in another place, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon what? Is stayed upon you. And so let's learn these things from this psalm. This is the God we've come to worship this morning. If you're able to stand, please do so so we can stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. "To the chief musician, set to do not destroy, a victim of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it they themselves have fallen. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon our time as we worship. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to gather freely in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. to offer you the worship that you so richly deserve. And Father, we confess that our highest praise falls short of the glory that you are entitled to. But we ask that the Spirit of Christ would be poured out through the merits of the Lord Jesus, that we might be full of him, to be full to overflowing of the Spirit of God, that all these means of grace, whether it's the hearing of the word, the preaching of the word, the singing of your praises, the prayers of the saints, Lord, the preaching of your word, the observance of the Lord's Supper, use all of these things to draw us near to you and draw near to us. And we pray especially for the unconverted among us. Lord, would your Spirit fill their hearts too, to give them a new heart and to give them repentance and faith, that they might cling to Christ and be safe in the wrath that is to come. We ask you to do all these things for your glory, and it's in your Son's name we ask. Amen.